podcast, I welcome you to the House of Manna. And this particular podcast is given a warning. It's a flash flood warning. The Jordan is flooding its banks. The Jordan is flooding its banks. Before we get to the actual scripture that I'm going to read, how many of you know that the Jordan means descending? It means to descend. Why does it mean descend? Well, the actual Jordan comes from an altitude that is 1,000 feet above sea level to 700 feet below sea level. How many of you have been to the Guadalupe River? Frio River, Concan, getting in the inner tube. What carries you? The current. Where does the current come from? Upstream. Now, when we read scripture, we think that, okay, well, I know the story. They crossed the Jordan, Israelites, hey, hallelujah, God blew, and then the Jordan split, and then they crossed over. There is so much more if you have a better understanding that the Jordan means to descend. Before you ever cross to a place where God really has for you, you are going to go through some turbulent waters. Have you ever stood in the river when the current is going very fast? And you try to brace yourself? You know how we do. We have to get our stance and we kind of get that center of gravity, you know. So if the current's coming behind you, you don't want to get pushed over and go face first. So you try to get stable. Well, it is the church that has been stabilized for a season, but now the flood has come. And it's coming from a distance far away. It wasn't because of the rains, because it was the harvest time. And at harvest times, we think, okay, spring rains brings in the new crops and everything. It's one thing when you see the rain and hear the thunderstorm coming, you know you're about to flood and get stuck down on I-10 again. Or if you go down to the Almas Basin, you know where they have that, the only dam here in San Antonio, and it's always flooded. So Almas Park is always underwater. Y'all know that, right? Okay, and there's always people that just kind of disregard the warnings or go beyond the barriers. You know, sometimes there's barriers that God puts before us with flashing lights telling us, don't go, there's danger ahead. Oh, but we got the Spirit of God, we going. We're going to go around these barricades, we're going to do this. Well, I've been reading on the internet how people are going, this is hilarious. Christians saying, put me in the lion's den and God is going to sustain my life. They nearly killed that man. The handlers had to go in there and get him out. Nearly died. Well, that's just idiotic to begin with. What about the ones who started playing? And this is truth. They started playing with poisonous snakes saying, if it bites me, I will not die. He died. There was another pastor that said, bury me alive so that you can pray resurrection and I will come back to life. He died. You see, there are some folks that take this to an extreme, but they don't heed the warnings. God said, you don't start looking for signs, look for me. Signs will follow if you keep me first. You see, we have to understand that the Jordan represented a place of transition from one place to the next. But before you could ever get to that place of crossing over in that transition, guess what took place? All kinds of hell on this side of the Jordan before you crossed over. Now, how many of you know all the different accounts that took place in the scripture about the Jordan? Well, we know the Israelites crossed over, right? The Jordan. What about Elijah and Elisha? He split the waters. He did it. Okay. Then There was a man named Naaman who had leprosy. He dipped seven times, and it says this very, very clearly, in the muddy Jordan. You know why it's muddy? Because all the current coming down keeps stirring things up. It doesn't allow anything to settle. No, hear this, hear this. Every time you do things with God, the waters are turbulent. It does not allow for you to be comfortable and stable. When you think you're stable, you know how we do. How many of you ride skateboards in here? Okay, you know you get on that skateboard. Well, when we were younger, when we used to have balance, and you get on the skateboard, you balance yourself real good. You bend your knees. Hey. Or how many of you are do surfboards? You're a surfer out there. Huh? You get on that board. You know about it. You know about it, surfer. Oh, yeah, yeah. Down at the Corpus Christi Bay. But you get on the surfboard, you got to bend your knees. Well, just like in basketball, when you're up there getting ready to do a free throw, they tell you, position yourself, bend your knees, so that all your effort's not on your arms. Your center of gravity pushes and thrusts things forward. Well, God's been trying to get the church in the position to stabilize, but we don't watch the signs. We have seen all these turbulent times here in the States, have we not? Now, think about this. Is the government at your level right here, or is the government at a different level? It comes from above. All the turbulent times that we're in is coming from above. But it's been trickling down. And it's causing an overflowing of the banks. We're seeing so much chaos and turbulence and making all these times just so uncomfortable. You know how they're trying to pass all these laws and stuff just to kind of keep the Christians from speaking truth. We can't talk about homosexuality. We can't talk about you being a sinner in certain things. We have to make sure that the restrooms are fitted for anybody that wants to one day be a woman, the next day be a man, and go back to a woman. And if you decide to do that in this house, keep coming. Because God will make sure you become stable in your identity. But there is a restroom that you can use. But I will preach the gospel. I will preach the gospel. And if you get mad and you get upset, those of you that come in here, they go, oh, Pastor, you're talking about sin. Jesus did too. Oh, but Jesus was compassionate. Yes, he was. Concerning the sin in your life, he dealt with it. And then what did he say after every single miracle? Go and sin no more. Let me tell that to one of the folks nowadays. I didn't sin. I'm not a sinner. I'm covered by grace. But here's the truth. The government has been trying to control the church. Yes? What has the church been doing? Okay. Taking it, being controlled, being manipulated. Now the church has lost its position. So the floodwaters are increasing. But the church is losing its footing. When the floodwaters come with such intensity, the things in your life get unbearable. Some of the issues in your home become intensified. In your marriage, in your children, in your finances, in your personal walk with God, it gets very difficult. Are you going to lose your balance? Are you going to stabilize yourself and prepare for what God is about to do? How many of you know that the Jordan was at flood stage to the point that it even lists that during that time there's even lions in the thicket? Now we all know that lions come out for those that are prey, right? Has the church been under attack? And have been the prey. But yet the church hasn't taken its position. So I want to share with you that the Jordan, what it represented. We know about Elijah and Elisha crossing over. But during that time, Elisha cries out after Elijah's taken up. He says, "My father, my father." That's in 2 Kings 2:12. He says, "My father, my father." Now, Elisha had been following Elijah the whole time, right? So he saw what he was doing. He understood that if I just continue to follow after him, God has something for me. He didn't know what it was, but until Elijah asked him, "Before I get taken, what would you have of me?" He says, "A double portion." He says, "You asked a hard thing." How many of us ask God hard things? Yeah. "Lord, I want peace." That's a hard one. You know why it's hard? Because we don't understand we already have it until the storm actually comes. And when the storm comes, it brings what's inside of you to surface. Sometimes the storms in your life are purposed for you to see that you can manage it. Well, we know that they were in the boat with Jesus. He commanded them to go to the other side. But what happened? A storm arose, right? Would you know that the storms that were there were so strong because of the positioning of the lake that the winds that come between the mountains, have you ever been between mountains? The wind is so strong that it makes things even harder to navigate through. But he says, "I'm here. Why are you tripping?" Really, in my Bible, it reads that way. "Why are you tripping? Why are you acting that way? How long have I been with you and you still don't get it? I am the peace that is always with you in the storm. If I'm sleeping, go to sleep." Well, guess what? We don't know how to go to sleep when we're going through some tough times. We don't know how to get rest when we've been going through some stuff. So the trick of the enemy is to get you so tired. Keep you up late at night that you can't even focus in church. Oh, help us, Jesus. Pastor, can I get coffee right now, Pastor? Shoot, we need to start giving espresso out. Or some of that Cuban coffee. That's that little, y'all would really be awake. Pastor, what are we going to do today? Pastor, what are we going to do today? Be wired. So Elijah and Elisha was a representation of headship and sonship. So he saw something, right? Elisha cries out, "My father, my father." Jacob is also referenced there at the Jordan in Genesis 32, verses 23 and 24. When Jacob crosses the Jordan on the other side, he wrestles with God and gets blessed. But before he crossed over, he was going through a lot of things in his mind. He was going through a lot within himself in his life. So before you ever cross over to another place, things are going to become unstable. Things are going to become very rocky. Your children are going to get sideways with you. Your wife, your husband are going to look at you in a different way that is not the goo-goo eyes. It's the ones, "I'm about to kill you." No? Shoot. I see your eyes. All of them. I see the body language. I know when y'all are happy and when you're not. I can look at this, "Oh, they're going through." It don't have to be a prophetic word. I can see, "Oh, you're going through some stuff, aren't you?" "No, I'm not, Pastor." "You're lying." "You're just lying. Going through stuff. Why you gotta lie, Craig?" Tell me, I don't know about that. Y'all know about that. All right, listen. What are you asking? Hold on, I'm just giving you some scriptures that reference what I'm talking about. Now, we know that in 2 Kings 5:14 that Naaman, a king, goes before the prophet and tells the prophet the issue, but yet the prophet doesn't do anything for Naaman but tells him to go back to the Jordan. See, the Jordan also represents healing. But how can healing come if it's very turbulent. Now, I want you to think about this. When I read this, I've been at the Guadalupe River when they've released some of the water from the dam. Have y'all been there when they've released? The rapids become even more aggressive. And I have been there. Try laying down. It'll take you, and you won't be where you once were. Listen here. Get in the river when the current is going so fast. He says, dip 7 times. Every time he dipped, he was moved. Moved from one position to the next. But you see, when we don't want to humble ourselves and do what God has told us to do, we can never move to the next place. We always stay stuck. So when I read that, I said, Lord, I remember when I was at the Guadalupe River one time, and I just laid back in this current. And when I picked my head up, I was much further down the river than when I was when I went down. He did that 7 times. Transition comes to take you to a different place. Do you understand that? To a whole different place. So now we see Naaman getting healed at the Jordan. And then we see John the Baptist. What is John the Baptist doing? He's baptizing in the Jordan. Jesus comes up out of the water. What happens? The heavens opened up. The heavens opened up. When the heavens opened up, they have never been shut. Lord, open up the heavens. It's open. Change the lyrics of the song. Change your confession. The heaven is open. When Jesus died, he tore the veil. Let's go behind the veil. Was it not there? Where is it? See, what we do, we make up songs and we wonder, how come we haven't gotten farther than when the church has been? Just because some of the scripture sounds good. But where is God taking us? See, there's a new song that is going to come forth. There's a new sound in worship that is coming forth. And it's going to require the people. Well, the people need to get consecrated. You need to come out of some stuff. That's choice. Lord, deliver me. No, just walk out of it. Walk out of it. You have control over it. How many more times are we going to cry to God and tell God, deliver me from this alcohol? Don't go and get it. Don't put yourself there when you know you have a problem. Lord, deliver me from having my anger issues. Listen, if we have an issue with anger, it's usually because we have an unresolved issue within our soul. We're mad at somebody that we haven't dealt with. We have fear about something, and we always outburst. The Jordan River is the river of miracles. It is the living waters that we must drink and thirst no more. The Jordan represented the things that God himself instituted with Jesus, saying, I am the living waters. See, on either side of the Jordan was life. Life. And when the water that came down from the mountains became very tumultuous, very turbulent, it started bringing up sediments that were settling at the bottom for many years. See, even though there's a current that is running, some of the stuff in our life gets adjusted to it and settles deep. So God has to stir some things up so he can get rid of that stuff that's been laying there. You know, some of the stuff that we've had laying there for a while. Where he tells you, I want to take you someplace that you've never been. But you got some stuff that you can't take over to your new place. You know, like when we're trying to move from house to house. Don't be taking the junk with you that you don't wear. Maybe someday, that was back in the 80s, baby. Get rid of those pair of shoe pants. You ain't going to wear them again. Yeah, they don't know about it. They don't know about it. You get rid of that stuff. You don't carry it to the next place. Why? Because there's some things that God wants you to get rid of so that you can obtain something new. Amen? Are you feeling it? Yeah, you ain't feeling it yet either. Flash flood warning. Something is about to take over you. The banks are getting ready to overflow. The lions that are there waiting to devour you will no longer be there because God is going to move them out the way. I want you to hear this. God is going to move the threat of you crossing over and being taken out of the way. He is going to allow the banks to overflow so that you can have an understanding. I'm going to bring stability by way of the supernatural. We have to have a tangible presence of God, not to just show up, but to always be the abiding presence of God. We want God to show up in the services, but we don't want him in our homes. We don't want him in our personal life. We don't want him in our relationship. We don't want him in our job. We don't even want him to deal with the things in our life that we know we're dealing with. God says, I need to be the abiding presence. That everything that I do is because I love you. And you've got to get rid of the things that you're still holding on to. If you don't want to get rid of it, you're going to carry that over to another place. And you won't enjoy where I'm taking you. Turn with me to Exodus 33, and I begin on this particular, and I know it's getting a little late, but I'll get you out of here early. Exodus 33, verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to skip down. When you're there, say amen. I want you to do this. Go ahead, and I know some of you are taking notes, and so stand to your feet for this as we read this. Why are you having me stand? Because you're falling asleep. Exodus 33, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. Are you ready? I, the Lord, said to Moses, get going, you and the people you brought up from the land of Egypt. Go up to the land I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I told them I will give this land to your descendants. And I will send an angel before you to drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to this land that flows with milk and honey, but I will not travel among you, for you are a stubborn and rebellious people. If I did, I would surely destroy you along the way. Amen. We'll see you next week. Verse 4, the Lord replied, Let me stop right here real quick on 3. If I did, I will surely destroy you along the way. Why? Because we're stubborn and rebellious. How many can see that in the state of not just the church, but in general around the world? Are you seeing the people that are stubborn in their ways? That are very boisterous about their opinions. Yeah. Lord, it's about ready to get some craziness. And Lord, we pray resurrection power in here. If anybody gets, okay, amen. Verse 4 says, the Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. Wait a minute, he says, I'm going to send the angel, but I won't go. Do y'all read that at number 4? I apologize. I don't have my iPad and I had to print it out and it didn't print all the way. So he didn't go with them because of the rebelliousness, right? But then if you begin to read down and says, verse 15, that was my fault. Verse 15 through 19. Then Moses said, if you do not personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me? On me and on your people. If you don't go with us, for your presence is among us, set your people and me apart from all the people on the earth. Verse 17, the Lord replied to Moses, I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you, and I know you by name. Okay, hold up. In verse 17, now he's answering Moses and doing as Moses asked. Why? Because he knows him. What does knowing mean? It's intimacy. I'm intimate with you, Moses. You're intimate with me. Because you've asked, now I will do as you ask. Moses responded, then show me your glory. Oh, what did he ask for? Show me your glory. Show me your presence that I've never seen before. But didn't he speak with him in the tent of meeting? But what did he ask for? Something different. Watch this. Verse 18. I'm sorry, 19. The Lord replied, I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. Father, I thank you for the reading of this word. I thank you, Lord, that we are not the stubborn and rebellious, but I thank you we are those that bring ourselves to that place of knowing you with a place of intimacy in our heart. That, Lord, that what we ask of you, you respond with. Yes. Yes. Because I know you and I look favorably on you. I will indeed do what you asked. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it penetrates our heart and prepares for us where we're going. In Jesus' mighty name, and all of God's people said amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. What did Moses do? He spent time with the Lord. He got intimate with God. He was able to be face to face with God. He was able to ask God to show him something he had never seen before. How many of you are asking God for something you have never seen or experienced before? Where's the key to it? Intimacy. Intimacy. Why intimacy? Because you're not asking of anything. All you're doing is giving love to him, adoration to him. But he asked for something that he has never experienced. He hadn't seen the glorious side of Jesus. But what did God say? I will place you in the cleft of the rock, and I will put my hand over to cover you. Because if you see my face, oh, watch this now. What did that mean? It was no longer going to be a sense of his presence. It was going to be God himself that you can't see my face, but I will show you my hand. And then my goodness will go before you. His goodness is his grace. And his grace is the power to allow you to do what God has called you to do. It is his empowering presence to have you accomplish what he's called you to do. So he went before him. As he went before him, he began to see something different. It was now a symbolism of let me go before you and I'll take you someplace you've never been. You see, this whole time they were falling, the Israelites were falling what? A cloud and a pillar of fire. He was teaching them how to be led by the Spirit of God. They were seeing something that they had to trust and trust God in. Now turn with me to Joshua 3:1, please. Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 in the English Standard Version. I'm going to read it this way. Joshua 3, verse 1 through 5. Then Joshua rose early in the morning. They set out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and they lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. I want you to just underline that if you have it, highlight it if it's on your device. Verse 3. And commanded the people, as soon as you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. We need the church to get back into position. We need the people of God to carry the very presence of God and not be looking for, give me glory, give me glory. How about just showing him that you want more of him? And his presence will abide with you. His presence will be demonstrated. We need the priests. We need the pastors. We need the leadership. We need people getting back into position and following the things of God and not the things of their flesh. Verse 4. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. We haven't been here before. We haven't been in that place that God wants to take us. But in order for us to get there as a body, we need the people that God has called to lead to be in position. If you are called to a place of leadership, whether in the church or at your job or at school, you are to be an example and not to be the bad example. You are to be the light and not the darkness. You are to be the one that they see and say, that's God inside of you. You have got to be the one that they can say something has changed in your life. But if you continue being the same way you were before you've ever came to the knowing knowledge of Jesus, my question to you is that you should ask, did you really give your heart to Jesus? Because you do not hurt the one you love. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I'll take my whoopings too. Verse 5 says, then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves. Oh, Lord. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Hold up. Now we got two key illustrations here. One, we have to follow the priesthood. The priests have to be in position. The leaders of the church got to be in position. Number two, we have to see that we need to consecrate ourselves. We need to separate ourselves from the certain things of this world. Then we will see wonders amongst us. How many of you want to see the signs and wonders? Then we need to consecrate ourselves. Joshua 3:14-17. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of the harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away. At Adam and the city that is beside Zarethan. And those flowing down towards the sea of the Arabia, the salt sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel was passing over on dry ground until the nation finished passing over the Jordan. We can't quit. In us crossing over. There was a flood and the Jordan had overflowed its banks. There was a flash flood warning saying you are going to go someplace. But for the longest time you've been in a place of being restricted. Now I'm going to take you someplace that as long as the people of God carrying my presence step in to touch this very water that is made for you to be an ascending transition. I will take you down through the depths, and as soon as their feet that carry the gospel in his presence touch the very waters, the flood waters, it will begin to part. As it begins to part, they had to wait on solid ground, firm ground, being stable for the church to cross over. Here's what I see that the Spirit of God is saying. Too many times the church has been unstable. We have had people giving in and quitting because it gets too hard. They don't want to continue on this walk with Christ because it gets too hard. We're unstable in our ways, double-minded. We want to say, God led me here, but God is leading me someplace else. Like God changed his mind so quick. Let God do what he's called you to do in the place that he's called you to be. He is trying to get us people to a place where he can show what's really inside of us. He wants to show you that he's given you all of his goodness inside of you so that you can cross over. We're going to all have obstacles and have challenges, but we need to be stable. We can't falter and waver in our faith in him. and his word just because things don't go right. Or even if they do go right. Some folks, when things are going right, they tend to fall away from God even faster. Because their security is in their ability. The truth be told, your success comes when you just apply your gift. Not everything has to be God given to you. But if you're using your gift and you're doing what you're supposed to do, using the principles, you're going to succeed. But there's some things that God will do when you start giving up some things by way of sacrifice when he's getting you to cross over. But you'll be stable on sure-footed ground. It's hard. But God wants to do one thing. He wants to steady your feet in the midst of the flood. Because he's going to cause the flood to cease. He will wall up the waters that come from above. And he will cut off the waters that go down. Where do they go down to? To the Dead Sea. What is inside the minerals of the Dead Sea? Things that are not good for you. There's so much mineral deposits there that it's bad for you. So what is he doing? I'm going to cut off all of the stuff that's come against you from above. I'm going to cut off the things that you could get led into that's bad for you. And as long as you just stay and watch my presence go, you'll cross to a new place. How many of you want to cross? Stand to your feet. I'm going to read this scripture over your life. It comes out of Hebrews 10, 32 through 36, out of the NIV. It says, remember those early days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffering along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Doing the will of God is not the easiest thing to do, but it is his thing to do. The will of God is not the permissive will, the things that he will allow. The will of God is doing the perfected will of what he desires for you. I want to pray over you right now for a release of the turbulence in your life.